Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Our guest joining us this morning by phone, the Reverend Michael Schmid from Napa, California. He's at St. John's Lutheran Church there in Napa. Good morning, Pastor Schmid.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being our guest this morning.
Glad to be here.
Tell us about St. John's Lutheran Church in Napa, California. Tell us about the community of that St. John's is in.
About the Napa community?
Yes.
Napa is, most known for the wine, Napa Valley. Napa, the city, sits on the south end of the Napa Valley, and population around 75,000 or so. It's a great place to live. We love it. We've been here almost 17 years. It is a heavily immersed in the wine and entertainment culture. Tourism is the biggest trade here. And it's a good community, probably ethnically, probably about 55-60%, as we say, Anglo, and about 40% Hispanic, but a good city. Crime rate is low, just great place, lots of restaurants, good place to spend lots of money.
So I would imagine the question that some people might ask is, are you very selective about the communion wine at St. John's?
As a matter of fact, we went to a deal about a couple of years ago, where we take donations for communion wine. So people bring the wine. A lot of it is quite a bit of it is actually amateur winemakers making their own wine. And let me, for those who aren't familiar with the Napa culture, we have excellent amateur winemakers. Excellent. This is very, very good wine. So we don't advertise. You know, we've joked about we should put a marquee out front of the church this month pouring Silverado Vineyards or whatever. But no, we take donations, and it's part of just folks who are in the industry who make the wine, who sell the wine, of taking that which is part of our livelihood and bringing it as part of worship. So yes, we do have good wine.
So St. John's is in the heart of Napa wine country there in California, and not too long ago, back in August, you experienced a devastating earthquake. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that day.
Well, the earthquake was on August 24th. It hit about 3:20 in the morning, which is probably, if you could pick the time to have an earthquake, that's about the best. Because everybody's home. Mm-hmm. Everybody's with their families. They're not in the schools. They're not in the place of work. Even the late night, Saturday night partiers are home, and the early morning risers haven't gotten up yet. So it woke people up. It was extremely violent. And for those who've experienced California quakes before, I've heard from so many people, this was the worst. This was the scariest. The epicenter was only a couple miles from the city of Napa. So we were practically sitting right on top of it. And the fault runs right up the west side of Napa, and there were a few side faults, I don't know how they classify it, that went right through a residential area, right through downtown. So it was extremely violent, as though I had the feeling going through it that if this doesn't stop soon, my house is coming down. Hmm. And in some cases, that did happen to people. Their house is knocked off the foundation. I don't know if listeners have had a chance to see any of the pictures from downtown Napa, where quite a few of the historic old buildings experienced some rather significant damage as brickwork and stonework came tumbling down. So it was not a pleasant way to wake up, and it just feel like your whole the feeling of being I grew up in the Midwest, and so I've experienced going down to the basement, the cellar for a tornado, thunderstorms, and that kind of thing, and the fear of the anticipation, but also the comfort of knowing if I'm in the basement, I'm going to be okay. I might lose my stuff upstairs, but I'm going to be okay. An earthquake, there's nowhere to go. Even if you have your presence of mind to do the things you're supposed to do, get in a doorway, go outside, you can't escape the violent shaking. And it's a feeling of just total utter helplessness, which can easily translate into terror. So that's what we woke up feeling.
Not a great way to wake up, but throughout the coming days, then I'm sure spent time assessing the damage and coming up with a plan. Was there damage to the church?
Yes, there was. The assessing, really, I just want to point out before we get to that, began immediately. Mm-hmm. The thing that happens in an earthquake is you're supposed to get out of your house. And so we all did. And so all the folks here experienced this. Everybody's outside. 3:30 in the morning, everybody's outside on the street. And we just had this massive priority check of what's most important, and what's most important are the people and relationships. And so everybody's checking on everybody. Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? It's really beautiful in a way that neighbors who don't usually talk to each other were suddenly checking up on each other. But after we had done that, we made sure our house was in fact not falling down, and then checked on neighbors and so forth. My wife and I headed over to the church, the sanctuary, and to see if we can still have worship, because this was on a Saturday night, Sunday morning. We had an earthquake 14 years ago, in 2000, September 3rd, 2000, and it was also on a Saturday night, so this was a little bit of deja vu as well. The damage on at the church campus is primarily confined to the sanctuary. Now, we have a pretty, I'd say, decent-sized campus, 6 or 7 acres, school, preschool through 8th-grade school, and it's built in what we call California style with out exterior walkways and multiple buildings. So I don't know what the count is, how many buildings we have on the campus, but there's just quite a few. But the damage in terms of damage to buildings, with the exception of a couple buckled sidewalks, was all the sanctuary. The sanctuary was built in 63. The front door, it's A-frame, like a lot of the churches built at that time, but the front door, the front wall, west wall, is covered in stonework. It's a stone veneer. And it's one of the first things we noticed was some of the stone had come down. So we were soon joined over at the church at 4 in the morning by our principal, he and his son. And they got the caution tape up around the front door, because not knowing with aftershocks how many more stones are going to come down. Later on, my associate, Mark Heine, he and I took a walk, a more thorough walk around the campus. That's about 6 in the morning, through the sanctuary. And we found some cracks in that west wall on the inside, that the organ was kind of a mess, quite a mess. And other issues in the sanctuary, floor buckled in a few places, and some paneling knocked off and cracks behind it. So that's what we experienced on the day of. And it's over the weeks since then, we keep unfortunately finding more things. So the damage to the sanctuary involves a number of windows broken, stained glass windows. Those have mostly been repaired. Damage to the organ, we're still waiting on an estimate with that. Our organ tuner, who repaired the organ after the 2000 earthquake, he hasn't been able to finish his estimate yet. But he did get the organ to where it's operating somewhat, if you know which ranks not to use. And we had, of course, the stonework. Concern with that is once we had the masons out, we found that the stonework isn't anchored as is code today. So we're waiting for word on the best way to deal with that. But we have a scaffolding framework up by that front door with plywood with wood over it, so we can use that entrance. Just still the concern if more stone comes down. That wall that the stone is mounted on has, as I said, some cracks, some pretty bad cracks. So also we're waiting for word on what needs to be done with that. We have a structural engineer who is preparing a report, and will give us several options on what to do about that. So I mentioned the buckling in the floor. Well, the engineer wasn't as concerned about that. We also have a closet that is up toward the front, off to the right side, where the worship band contemporary music equipment is kept. that closet has some damage to it. In fact, some broken cinder blocks above the door. So the structural engineer advised us not to use the closet. So we had to clear everything out. So those are the types of things we're looking at. And at this point, we don't know how much it's going to be, because we don't know what all needs to be done. I'm imagining that we're going to get to a point where the engineer, the organist, and the stained glass guy will give us options. This is what's most critical to do. This is what you probably should do, but not quite as critical. And then we're just going to have to look to see what we can afford. And, of course, the things that are critical and safety-related, we have to get on right away. But in the meantime, we're able to use the building.
We are talking with Reverend Michael Schmidt from St. John's Lutheran Church in Napa, California. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our conversation talking about their recovery efforts and how they're getting along after the earthquake on August 24th. Stick around for more His Time right after this on Worldwide KFUO.
Friday on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Chris Roseborough about This Week in Pop American Christianity. We'll continue our series on Christian preaching, talking with Dr. Ed Grimmenstein about modern preaching, and we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
Issues Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
My name is Rebecca. After fleeing Sudan and spending years in a refugee camp, Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service placed me with a foster family in the U.S. I couldn't have survived without a home, friends, and community to embrace me. Every refugee needs help on their journey. Nobody can do it on their own. For 75 years, LIRS has transformed over 500,000 lives through ministries of mercy and justice. Go to lirs.org/KIT to join us and work with refugees like me to brighter tomorrows.
As we age, our needs change, but there's no one-size-fits-all solution. That's why Lutheran Senior Services offers everything from low-income housing to senior living communities that provide all levels of care, to in-home services, to hospice. Our mission of older adults living life to the fullest comes from John 10, verse 10, where Jesus says he came so that we might live life in abundance, now and into eternity. Improving the lives of seniors wherever they call home. LSSLiving.org.
Finding just the right partner is a blessing when it comes to achieving God's plans. Hi, I'm Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Before taking this position, I worked with LCEF in my home congregation. It was a joy to find a true Lutheran partner that understood our unique needs as we built a school and welcomed new families into our church and community. I hope you experience that joy too. Visit LCEF.org to find out how your ministry can become empowered in its kingdom work.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Today we are talking with the Reverend Michael Schmidt, pastor at St. John's Lutheran Church in Napa, California, and their response and recovery to the earthquake on August 24th. Pastor, you shared with us some of the building issues, some of the structural issues that have incurred to the building there. More than the buildings, and those things can be repaired over time, how are the members of your congregation, your school, your Hispanic ministry, how are those folks doing in response to, you know, after this experience? You mentioned earlier it was a pretty frightening thing to be awakened in the middle of the night by an earthquake.
Yeah, pretty frightening thing, yes. We are, I think for the most part, people are getting back to normal, adjusting. I can speak for myself. I'm still jumpy when I hear a sound. But for some people, it's been a more difficult recovery. And I was just talking to our youth ministry intern this morning about a conversation he had with one of our school mothers, parents, yesterday about just really, and she's pretty, you know, emotional about it, really concerned about their two daughters still having a really hard time not sleeping well. You know, I've heard this from numerous parents regarding how this has affected the kids. And some of this, it's exacerbated by the parents are nervous. and that is, you know, is projected into the whole household. We brought in Reverend Hal Drager. He's pastor at Redeemer Redwood City. He's also our regional district vice president. And he gave a presentation for parents and for staff. Hal is, in addition to being lead pastor at Redeemer, he's also an MFT with training and experience in, with PTSD and techniques especially that are effective with children. And so he gave a very, very helpful presentation aimed at parents helping their kids. So that's some of the almost, you know, PTSD kind of symptoms that we're seeing with not being able to sleep, being on edge. We've seen in the school, it was, unfortunately, this was the first weekend of the school year, so you had the usual beginning of the school year chaos, and then exacerbated by an earthquake. So drop-off became very difficult, kids not wanting to leave their parents. A lot more tears. Even up into grades, we normally don't see them. Some of the second, third, and fourth grade. So it was like a very frightening experience. You know, for little kids, you know, we have preschool through eighth grade. With little kids, I mean, it's kind of a foundational thing to their world that mom and dad are brave and are never afraid, and my home is perfectly safe. And then what happened August 24th is my home is not so safe, and I saw mom and dad utterly terrified. Mm-hmm. And that was very, very disturbing. It was things that kids don't, normally figure out for a number of years later when they realize their parents don't know everything and aren't perfect. Suddenly we had these, you know, preschoolers and kindergartners having to face that, and very, very disturbing. We also have locally here, there's a Christian counselor, MFT, who is a Christian, actually a former school parent, who also has experience in working with PTSD. I've been referring those of more acute cases to her. We've just been doing a lot of praying and just a lot of encouraging people to find comfort in Christ. Interestingly enough, our school theme this year is based on Hebrews 6:19. Hope is our anchor. And the chapel right before the earthquake, the opening chapel, I had led that chapel, was talking about, you know, anchor, and anchor holds you firm, and anchor is a place to secure you in the face of the wind and the wave and the storms and the stuff that comes up. As I said, you know, no, we don't know what's going to happen this year. We don't know what's going to happen in school year. Probably going to be some tough stuff all of us are going to deal with. But hope in Christ is our anchor. That holds us firm. And so that theme has taken on a really significant meaning since the earthquake, and we've talked about it frequently, hear people saying it to each other, hope is our anchor, hope is our anchor. So that's very good. So ultimately, that is what really holds us together, knowing that hope, hope that is not wishful thinking, but hope that is the confidence that in all things Christ is with us, in all things Christ is bringing his resurrection power to bear on all that is broken and lost.
Amen. Absolutely. In the midst of the frightening moments that you experience, to be able to confess that is a good thing, and to be able to share that with those around you who are still jumpy and frightened, to yes. to be able to confess that and to teach that, especially to our children, that yes. yeah, even as adults we might be scared of things that happen in this world, but Christ is our anchor.
Well, you know, that is very true, and that's something that talking with a number of adults we've had to deal with is it was a level of fear that we don't normally feel, and finding comfort in God's presence and Christ's promises, and he is our anchor. Yes.
How do things look from here on out for St. John's and the help that you've received from others? Have you received support? You mentioned some of the counselors. Have there been others in around the district or from the synod that have been helpful?
Yes, we you know, I heard from LCMS disaster response pretty quickly, as well as our district disaster response, and had fortunately worked out the next week that somebody, Michael Meyer from disaster response, was scheduled to be out with our district circuit visitors conference, and so he came a day early, and we spent some time up here in Napa looking at some of the damage, had a chance to visit a few of our members who experienced significant home damage, and we talked about ways in which disaster response can be helpful, even in terms of materially, financially. Where we are with that right now, it's still early, because everybody's still in the mode of assessing what damage do we experience, what's it going to take to fix it before, you know, getting estimates and so forth. It's not a quick process, unfortunately. So we experience, I you know, appreciate that support, and also hearing from him, from Russ Johnson, also from communication, LCMS communication, and the knowledge that the word went out throughout the Synod that we had experienced this. And it's very, very comforting to know that we here in the city of Napa were being prayed for. We were being prayed for all over the Synod. And then we, of course, it was almost overwhelming, but I really appreciated it. I had my running list of people with phone calls to return, getting phone calls from all over. How are we doing? How are we doing? and with you know, any way we can help, and offering prayers. And the main thing I was asking for is prayers for peace, because we weren't feeling very peaceful. It was very encouraging to get you know, packages from sister congregation, sister schools, of letters and greetings and artwork that students at other Lutheran schools had made to comfort the students here. That's all very encouraging, and so that's been very good. The other our district president, Bob Newton, who was actually in Napa when the earthquake happened, he's a son of St. John's, and his mother and his brother are still members here, and he just happened to be up, he and his wife, visiting his mother. And so he got to experience the earthquake firsthand. But being in touch with him, it's been, not, you know, I said, not a pleasant experience to go through, but a good example of you know, walking together, you know, Synod, supporting each other. And so we've really appreciated that.
We've been talking with the Reverend Michael Schmid, pastor at St. John's Lutheran Church in Napa, California. Pastor Schmid, thanks so much for being our guest on His Time, and certainly we will continue to lift you up in prayer as you guys continue to recover from the earthquake.
Appreciate that very much.
Coming up in just a little bit, we've got more His Time. Stick around for more right after this break on Worldwide KFUO.